Why don't you just begin and pray? Let us pray. Well, Father, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus. Father, you know our great need. You know the areas we need help in. Lord, I pray you would help us today, Lord. Lord, I pray you would increase a greater view of your love towards us and a greater, greater love for you. I pray as we review and emphasize a certain part of these scriptures, God, I pray that you would bless this time. I pray you would help us, Lord, to take heed and you work in our hearts. God, I pray you would give more of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to change our hearts. So, Lord, please be with us even in this hour, not only in this hour, but in the main service. May you help, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, after reading this passage and looking at the truths here, I just want to emphasize more upon verse 4 where it says, But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember therefore from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. Just a brief review of what was said last week is basically the main ideas of this passage to the church in Ephesus was basically the main ideas is that you have in verse 2, 3, and 6 that the Lord Jesus is commending this church. He's commending them for the works that He observes among them. The works that He knows, their toil, their patient endurance, and how they cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. So this believers here in Church of Ephesus, they do not tolerate evil men. They test those who call themselves apostles. They knew truth. They knew doctrine. They were godly people outwardly. They had all the main truths. They had the Apostle Paul even in their midst in the book of Acts 18, 19, and 20. If you ever get a chance to look at it, you'll have a little historical background where they had the Apostle Paul coming. So they sat under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They heard good preaching, sound teaching, and they also took heed to his warnings when the Apostle Paul called for the elders of Ephesus to come, and they heard the warnings about being aware of false teachers coming in and even rising among yourselves. So this church was aware, it was alert, and it was not bearing up with those who are evil. They didn't tolerate those who are evil. So that's the main idea, that the Lord Jesus, when He comes and says, I know your works, He observes their works. He sees that these are good things. These are good things. And He also observes and disapproves of something that they're not doing. So he commends them for doing these things, which is in verse 2, 3, and 6. But then He disapproves of something that they're not doing, which is, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. So those are the brief background, just a review of that and how that's really, really good for us. You know, as a church, we want to be aware of, we want to discern evil men. We want to be aware of false teaching. So that's something really good that we should apply from that, or apply to us individually. So something else that knowing that the Lord Jesus, like a good physician that He is, He looks at the body in Ephesus, He observes them, and He finds the problem. He finds the problem with what this church was, what happened to this church is that they left their first love. You can look at it like this, it's really good, a really good order, is that He looks at the body, He finds the problem, and He gives the solution of how to recover from this leaving their first love. And it's put simple, it's But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had first. The first solution, he says, remember. And the second one, it says, repent. And the third solution he gives, it says, do the works you did at first. So he gives them the solution to recover from such a great high fall, which is leaving your first love. Remember, repent, and if you like, repeat. So that's what he gives, the solution to recover from such a great fall. And I did mention that these works were observable. These works they did at first, they were demonstrated, they were seen. And you can see that in the Apostle Paul when he gives thanks to God in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, where he says, I thank God of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for your love for one another. And I also mentioned that it's one of the greatest commandments to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said, they will know that you're my disciples for your love for one another. So these are both truths that when there is a love towards God, there is a love towards His people. But we're going to deal with more ultimately the love for God, the love for Jesus, because when your love grows cold for the brothers, it's usually an indication that your love is growing cold for the Lord.
Amen.
So we're going to deal with that first love. And it's it's a very serious, it's very important, especially within our camps. We have all the teachings, we're doctrinally sound, we have systematic theology, we have biblical theology, we know all these truths, but we can slip up and we can leave our first love. And then, as the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians, if you have not love, you have nothing. So it's a very vital, it's very important that the Lord Jesus deals with in this church. It doesn't mean that we lessen doctrine, it doesn't mean that we lessen love, but 100% love and 100% doctrine. But if we begin to slip up, you can hear the same words that the Lord Jesus gives, not only to this congregation, but He can give to us individually, that we have left our first love. So, one commentator said this, I think it was really good. He said this, pertaining to verse 4, but I have this against you that you have left your first love. He said this, we have a similar form of speech in Matthew 5:23. So if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. If we must make it up with a brother, how much more with the Lord? And that without delay. It's very important to know that. So the solution he offers, the first solution we'll look at is remember. He says, remember therefore from where you have fallen. One thing that you can remember, call to mind, is God's love towards you and the gospel and where He found you. I mean, this is something that we're called to do. Remember, if you're in this particular place right now, in this condition that you feel like you left your first love, then here's the solution. Remember, call to mind the first graces He poured upon you in Christ. This is what the Church of Ephesus is told to do. If you go back to the book of Ephesians, he tells them in this, in chapter 2, he says, therefore remember, in verse 11, he says, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember, in verse 12, he says again, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So he says, remember. So here's the solution that he gives in verse 4. He says, remember, call to mind these things, these first graces that the Lord Jesus pours upon you. And I wonder if the church of Ephesus, they begin to start thinking and remembering that first letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to him to remember these things. To remember, therefore, hey, at one time you were separated from Christ. And he also says that we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. So if you feel like your love has grown cold, you feel like you left your first love, here's the first solution. Remember, call to mind. Remember the cross. Remember the blood. Remember the forgiveness of sins. Remember the resurrection. Remember what He did upon that cross. This Savior who came to save us from our sins. Call to mind these things. The beginnings of what God was doing for us when we first believed. When He saved us. When you had faith in Him. This one who knew no sin. This Jesus who knew no sin. He became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. He knew no sin. And you look at the world that we're in. There's so much sin. So much problems. Not only sin in the world, but sin in our own lives. But this Jesus, He knew no sin. Not even one. Not even one. He was blessed. He was the blessed, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners. And He took sin upon Him. He bore our sins upon the cross. So there's one thing to remember. Remember the gospel. Go back to the gospel. Remember what He did for such a sinner like us. Who took all of our sins upon Him and He was crushed by God. All of your sins. Every one of them thrown into the ocean of no remembrance. He forgot them. Remember what He did for you. Those great things that He did for you upon the cross. So that's one thing to remember. Another thing is to remember the love you had for Jesus and the devotion of your youth. And all these truths of the gospel and you believing in Him. And when He changed your heart that first time, the love that you had for Him, so easily aware, so easily were you seeking after Him, tender to Him. Your heart was open so easily to Him. Remember the devotion of your youth, what He did for you. Just like that lady who came before Him and wept before His feet. And He says, you know, to him who is forgiven much, loves much. And that was us, those first days when we realized what a great sinner we were.
Amen.
And we realized, man, we believed upon Him. We trusted Him more easily. We ran to Him more easily. When we were struggling in sin, we came. We came before Him. But we can be so forgetful. I know that for myself, I can be so forgetful. I can leave my first love. And that's a good question. Is if this is the condition that we're in right now, so you left this first love, have you grown cold to the Lord Jesus Christ? Then you have to ask, what's keeping you from that relationship? Is it some kind of idol? Is it some kind of sin? Are you backsliding in this very moment? What's keeping you from coming to the Lord Jesus? I like the way Joe Beakey said it. He said this, he said, referencing, you left your first love. He said, you know, we don't, like the Lord Jesus saying, we don't talk as much no more. You don't go to my word. You don't hear much from me. And I don't hear much from you, meaning that you don't pray as much no more. And that can so easily happen to us. Whether it be by some kind of idol in our life, whether it be by some backsliding, some sin that we have allowed in our lives, it can easily make us drift away from Jesus and forget our first love. So we're called to remember these things, to ask these questions. What has God in my life? What is in my life right now that is keeping me from Christ, from His love? We must examine ourselves. We must remember who we once were and who we are now. not a unnecessary introspection examination, but a gospel examination, looking within, searching, asking questions. Like, where am I at right now? Am I making progress? Is my relationship with Christ, is it deepening? Do I love Him more? I know that we can't go to the past and look at things and begin to copy everything that we did, because some of the things that we did were, you know, zeal without knowledge. We're not talking about just focusing upon feelings mostly, but we're just focusing more upon the heart, the affections of faith and believing Him and taking Him at His word and coming to Him in prayer and reading. So we're not talking about an unhealthy introspection, but are we maturing in our love with the Lord? Are we growing at this very moment and loving Him and seeking after Him and praying, daily readings of the Bible, daily readings in the Bible and prayer, knowing His love for us, knowing that He found us, and that time, I don't know about you, but man, He forgave me for so much things I've done. And so easily I can forget all the things, the great things He has done. It might not be the time where you truly have faith in Him that day, or it might be just certain things in your life that He gave you victory over. Maybe some Ebenezers in your life. Those answered prayers where He came and He rescued you and He encouraged you. That day when you were in the Word and you read that passage and it just opened up to you and it warmed your heart. Remember those times. And then how you begin to follow Him more, stick close to Him more. And this is important. This is really important, our relationship with Christ, because if we get this right, everything flows from there. Everything flows. The way we treat our people in our house, the way we treat our neighbors, the way we treat our brothers, everything flows from there. We get the love of God right towards us. We love Him. We love others around us. This is the relationship that we should be maturing in, growing in, being conformed to His image, knowing Him more in His Word. But so easily we can be distracted. So easily we can drift away. And it's a sad thing. I see that in my own life. I had to remember a lot of things when I was reading this passage. I had to remember. I had to repent, which is the next second solution if you find yourself in this place, like this church in Ephesus. The second solution that He gives us, repent. Repentance is a good thing. It's a gift from God, granted by God. Repentance is a godly sorrow. It's Godward. It's realizing that you have sinned against God. You're going down this direction. Repentance is just turning and coming to your first love. Coming back to Him. It's that simple. I like the way Joe Beakey said about repentance. He said, repentance, evangelical repentance, casts itself on mercy. It casts itself on mercy. Brother, we have a merciful God. Kind and compassionate towards us. Able to sympathize with us. And repentance is a reality of knowing that you have sinned against God, like King David. He says, against you and only you have I sinned. And He says, have mercy upon me according to your steadfast love. Repentance is turning from that, whatever is keeping you from this love, and turning to Christ, coming back to Him. And He's willing to receive you. He's willing to come and talk with you and hear you as you come to His Word and as you come to prayer. So my friend, don't wait. Turn. Don't wait to feel some kind of affection. And then you want to turn. Don't wait till you feel some kind of desire. Then you want to turn. If you're there and you say, I don't have no desires, well, I know what you do have. You have eyes, you have ears, you have your hands. You can open the Word, you can see, you can read. Bring all that and let God come and encourage you. So repentance is a good thing. And the last solution that He gives is to recover, is to do the works you did at first. And that's simple. One brother said that it's practical. The Lord Jesus is very practical. He says, recover. Recover and do the works you did at first. So repent. So it's remember, repent, and repeat. The solution to recover is to do the works you did at first. Go back to your first love. Believe Him. Seek Him. Sit at His feet like Mary who found that good portion. Sit at His feet. Listen to Him. So that's the third solution, is to recover. To recover. To do the first works you did at first. And for the last verses, 5 and 7, the Lord Jesus persuades them to take this solution. He persuades them. He says this, "If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." God's kindness to persuade you to turn. And He warns you. It doesn't mean that you're going to lose your salvation. It means that you'll lose your usefulness. You won't be that candle, that light of the gospel. But He will remove you. So He persuades you, "If not, I will come and remove your lampstand." And then he persuades you with a promise. In verse 7, He persuades you with a promise. What does He say? He says, "And he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." The persuasion of God, this promise. He says, to the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. Figuratively speaking of this tree of life, which is Christ Himself, the eternal Word, the eternal life, which is in the paradise of God. I will give to those who conquer. Meaning, this is a glorious promise. Amen. This is that promise where you're now in the presence of God. No more sin. No more things keeping you from coming to Christ. Nothing keeping you from the love of God. Keeping you from that first love. But this is paradise. This is the new heavens, the new earth. No more sin. Every tear will be wiped away. And there you'll be there. Beholding Him. Feasting with Him. Which is the persuasion that the Lord gives is a promise. So my dear brothers and sisters, is the solution that the Lord gives to this church, and it's the solution for us individually if we fall in a place of that leaving our first love. The solution is to remember, call to mind, repent, and repeat, and be persuaded by the warning and also by the promise. And that's the second part that I was had for us today.
Praise God. Amen.
But see the time? Still got time. We have enough time for prayer or any kind of question. Yeah.
Brother, I'd like to share with you 1 Peter 1:8 through 9. It says, "And though you have not seen Him, you love Him, and though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls."
Yeah.
And being a believer for 48 years, when I read verses like that, it's an encouragement to my heart. And then when I come over to 1 Peter 4:8-11, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins."
Yeah.
"Be hospitable to one another without complaint." Mm-hmm. "As one who has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God."
Yeah.
"Whoever speaks is to do also as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom, who him belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. So, you know, when we look at the church of Ephesus, you know, we see that they lost their first love, but if we just renew our mind in the Word and prayer daily, which I've been doing for 48 years, we always come back to these verses as encouragement because we have the Holy Spirit living within us.
Yeah.
And we're going to rejoice in that love that we have and forgive us in Christ.
Yeah.
And we're going to want to serve one another, do it joyfully.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems to be the source right there is our relationship with Christ. And that just flows out the way we treat each other. The way we treat the people that we're close to. And also, we begin to see the world differently as well. We desire to go share the gospel, or whether desire to help a brother to in his ministry in sharing the gospel. But there is that love. That source first is our relationship with Christ. And man, I pray that the Lord will just grant me more of that, just to have more of a deeper understanding of who He is. Because I need that for myself. So easily I'm distracted. So easily things can get in my mind, and I'm so introspective. And I don't think much about, you know, these things that all these things that God has done for me. And they're just an encouragement for any of us who, or any of y'all who have been raised in a Christian home, that some people get discouraged. They probably don't see too much in the past. They probably don't have a crazy background where the Lord saved them. But know this, that wherever you're at, whether He might not save you from a whole bunch of a multitude of sins, but whether it be few sins, I mean, it takes one sin to cast you into hell.
That's right.
So therefore, whether it be a few sins that the Lord Jesus, this innocent who is wholly separated from sin, He bore those sins upon His cross. So the price was high. So just an encouragement for those who might sometimes look and say, man, I never lived this way and I didn't do this. Well, you're a sinner just like me.
Yeah. The price paid was no higher for someone who lived a profligate life than it was for someone who only stumbled once in a while.
Yeah.
The price was the same.
Yeah.
Brother, you made two good points right at the very beginning that were a good reminder to me. And that was that, as we've been told many times, that we should be preaching the gospel to ourselves.
Yeah.
And the other is that we should rehearse our testimony to remember what it is the Lord did for us.
Yeah.
You know, and occasionally we will use our testimony when we're witnessing to other people, but you know, we want to focus on the gospel. But for us to go back and, like you say, like Scripture says, remember from where you've fallen.
Yeah.
You know, the heights that we were raised to when we were first saved.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at it, where Scripture says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places.
Amen.
That's not future. That's now.
Amen.
You know, and we need to remember that and set up those Ebenezers.
Yeah.
And go back and visit them once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, we have all kinds of monuments and things around the events that have happened in the past. You know, some people keep scrapbooks and we have photo albums and now, you know, no photo albums now, it's all on your phone. But, you know, we keep those things to remind us of things that have happened in our lives.
Yeah.
Well, we need to be going back to those things that Christ has done for us in our lives, particularly our salvation.
Amen. I was thinking about that. Some of those things are there. They're probably just dusty. You just need to go over there and brush them up and look at them, put them to the light. Like, man, this was the Lord did for me. I remember I was there and He just came.
That's why journaling is so important. Yeah. I'm not good at it. I started keeping a journal again last year, and I think it's probably been a month and a half, 2 months now since I put anything in it.
Yeah.
And I need to get back at that. But that's why journaling is so good, because you can go back and refresh your memory of things that the Lord has done in your life.
Yeah. Amen. So good.
Brother, another thing that helps me is, and it really humbles me, is to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount.
Yeah.
when you think about like all of the things that he mentions there, you know, about being poor in spirit. You know, because I think a lot of times, you know, we do take our salvation for granted and we start, you know, when we go back there, we go back to the cross.
Yeah.
You know, that should really humble us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, he talks about being poor in spirit. We don't mourn, you know, blessed are those that mourn. We don't mourn over our sin like we should. Mm-hmm. I know I don't.
Yeah.
Like I should. You know, that. Yeah. And that's part of examining ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think we get busy sometimes and we don't go back to the cross and we don't examine ourselves.
Yeah.
Remember from where we came. But I use that Sermon on the Mount a lot of times to humble myself.
That's so good.
I remember, you know.
I think
the Lord did.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah. All right. Well, let me just pray real quick and we'll just end. Well, Father, I pray you would take some of these truths here and I pray that you would use them to encourage me and to encourage these saints here. Lord, pray you would work, Lord, even in the young ones, Lord. Mm. They don't know you, Lord. I pray that they will know what it means to leave your first love. I pray that they would know what it means to come to this first love. So, Lord, please work in their hearts as well. Thank you for this time. May you bless this time, Lord. May you revive our hearts.
Yes.
And, Lord, deepen our love with you, Lord. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.